What's in the box? Come on. What's in the box?
Aren't you so glad he killed Kevin Spacey?
Looking back now, that has aged very well.
Yeah.
It was so convincing by Brad Pitt because he caught Kevin Spacey harassing some intern in the back.
Morgan Freeman, probably. Leave Red alone. He's a kindly old man.
All right, we're back for another episode of Blockbusters. Clint Curtis, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
I feel like I'm going to cry right now. I'm so excited.
If that makes you cry, you're a disturbed person. Even tears of joy.
Have you ever heard the remake of Sound of Silence by Disturbed? Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Really raspy.
It's really weird.
You know what would be super cool?
What?
Is if Disturbed would do a duet with Paul Simon, Sound of Silence.
Is he like a stuck-up individual?
No, he seems like he'd be super nice.
So he might do this.
You know who he reminds me of? Like when he talks is Fred Armisen.
I'll never be able to get that image out of my head now.
Like, and Fred Armisen's a musician too. He plays the drums and the guitar, plays multiple instruments.
Have you ever seen that SNL skit? Punk rock. It's like, they're like their graduation show.
No.
You've never seen that one?
No.
And then they like bust out with Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, I think Dave Grohl, and they get up, they're at their high school reunion or their daughter's wedding. They're old. And he's like, oh, we're just excited to be here today. And he's going to sing a song, and then they bust out into their high school band, and it's just this rage punk.
No, I got to look that up.
Oh, it's fantastic.
One of my really big problems right now is trying to find the clips of all the SNL skits over the years. Like, I hate it. Sometimes it links you to NBC.com. Sometimes it's Hulu. Sometimes they'll throw out a few on YouTube. You know what I mean?
And you know, it's on purpose though, right?
Well, yeah.
YouTube's the bait.
But I wish there could be a place where I could just know, and hey, you know what? If you want me to pay $3 so that I can watch Laser Cats, I'll pay the $3.
I'm pretty sure.
I just want to go to a place where it's all there.
If you get their all access app, I'm pretty certain.
Who, NBC?
I think so. It's like $7.99 a month. Everyone has their own app now. Did you hear Disney launched their
streaming service?
Yeah.
I didn't know that they launched. I knew, I've read about
it's,
it.
I think it launched. I don't know.
What are we talking about today though?
Meet the Parents.
Yes.
You tell me why, because I don't know. This was your idea.
No, man. Well, I mean, we were talking, going back and forth on what we wanted to talk about next, because I mean, the public outrage that we haven't released more episodes of Blockbusters. I don't know if you've been feeling the heat. I've been feeling the heat.
Three death threats.
I'm sick and tired of people asking me about it. So anyway, so the other, we've been going back and forth what we were going to talk about. And the other night, last week, I settled down in my bed, and Summer, my wife, laying next to me, was just flipping through the channels, and there was Meet the Parents. And we were like, well, we'll go to sleep. We'll fall asleep. We'll probably leave this on or something. And we watched the whole show and we're laughing the whole time, straight up.
You texted me then.
Yes.
Or maybe I don't know.
No, it was late.
It was late.
You immediately responded.
And you were like, well, yeah, I'm always up. I don't ever sleep. Meet the Parents. You threw that out there and I was like, Meet the Parents.
I know.
Okay. I'm glad you did it because I did a bit of a deep dive. I rethought Meet the Parents' place in movie history.
Yeah.
And it is shockingly more important than I would have ever assumed.
Oh, yeah. It's responsible for a lot of, like, I feel like for where romantic comedies went for the next little while. It showed that, because before then, I feel like there was kind of, you know, your romantic comedies, right? Like, you know, like you've Got Mail and stuff like that. And then you had your raunchy American Pie comedies. And I feel like Meet the Parents was a hybrid that could show that, you know, you could have kind of a good, cute, romantic family comedy that still had a little bit of an edge to it. But you didn't have to drop in a bunch of F words and gratuitous.
It's surprisingly,
but it's, and it still holds up and it's funny.
Yeah. I didn't remember it being that. I'm not, everyone has different standards. So I'm not saying it's a family film.
No.
I don't know, but it's not Wedding Crashers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here's what I remembered about it. And it was better this time around. I remember watching it originally. And then even as I rewatched it a few times later, early 2000s, I'm uncomfortable the whole movie. It's so bad. It gets so bad. The plot of all the stuff happening to him.
Yeah.
I remember almost not enjoying it as much because it just kept getting bad.
It's almost like the other movie that made me feel like that was Cable Guy.
Good call.
Yeah.
Well, now when you say that, you're talking about.
Like, I just felt like it was, I guess there were moments when it was funny, but a lot of times too, like when I remember watching, I'm like, this is just uncomfortable.
Were you thinking more uncomfortable in the sense of, you're not talking outside the movie, like you're not uncomfortable.
I'm talking inside the Cable Guy universe.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching this and I'm like, dude, this is uncomfortable to watch. Like I just, like I feel bad for both of these guys.
Yes, because it just gets,
it's just so awkward.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Same
thing. You get what I'm saying.
I get exactly what you're saying.
Because it's a movie, so you shouldn't. You should be able to just go there.
Yes.
But that's a sign of something that's very well done. Well, when I think it's actually hard to watch.
And I don't know, the other part of Me Too that I remember, not hashtag Me Too, I mean just regular Me Too.
Right.
Of this movie that I remember is at this point in my life, this is the year 2000, I was serving a mission for the LDS church and I came home and after, and I remember this is one of the movies that I watched. So I was in that mode over the next year or two where, you know, you're dating and stuff like that. And you're and I remember referencing this movie when I was dating people that I'm like, well, maybe, who knows, maybe this could be my wife someday. And then I would think about this movie and be like, I wonder what her dad's like, you know?
Do you remember thinking that stuff too? Like, yeah, this is a situation that a lot of people have been in.
Yes.
It's, yeah, I think people can really identify with what happens in the movie. I obviously never had to have concerns about my father-in-law.
That's true. You knew your father-in-law.
I don't identify.
Way before.
Yeah. I knew him way before, and he was
I didn't.
He was as fantastic as they come.
I swear too, my father-in-law, I swear he had seen this movie too when I asked him if I could have permission to marry his wife, or marry his wife. No, marry his daughter, because he was kind of hard on me for a bit about it. Like, and then he was like, oh, just kidding. I'm not going to hook you up to a lie detector test.
I'd like to say it's a generational thing, but we don't know yet. We might well be like that.
Yeah.
When our daughters are that age.
Yeah.
You never know. We'll find out. Let's go over some basics really quick. Meet the Parents, 2000, like you already mentioned.
Yes.
Came out in 2000. Stars. I want you to tell me who you think this movie stars.
Clint. That was terrible. That was a not Marlon Brando.
No. It's not Marlon Brando. So why would I be doing this voice, Clint?
Because it's De Niro.
And why would I be doing this voice if it's Robert De Niro?
Because in your mind, you looked in the mirror and you did that impression. You're like, dude, I'm good at this.
No, De Niro plays the young version of Vito.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, yeah.
De Niro.
Of course, yeah.
De Niro is the Godfather.
Which?
Part two, he's the young Vito Corleone. I know.
Well, you don't have to tell
you
me that.
You knew this.
Hot take.
Well,
hot take
you
number
forgot
one.
For a minute.
No, I didn't forget, no. But Godfather 2 was better than Godfather 1, and we all know that. Much like Aliens was better than Alien.
Yeah. I am worried because I haven't watched Part 3. I hadn't watched any of them since high school.
Part 3.
Just don't watch
it. Just don't watch it.
I mean, I remember it.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being as everybody. I have not seen it since I was 17 or 18. I'm 30, so we're talking 20 years.
Wait, did you just say you're 30? Because that's untrue.
No, I'm 37.
There we go.
So 20 years, and I'm in a struggle right now because I don't have bad memories of it. I mean, I remember everything that happened, but I don't remember it being that bad. When's the last time you watched it?
It's probably been about 10 years.
And you wish you didn't?
Yeah. It was
you
just
wish
like,
you had never seen it? Or was that the first time you saw it?
Yeah, it was the first time I saw it. It was 10 years ago because everyone had always said how bad it was. And yeah, dude, I just like, I don't want to watch this. I shouldn't have watched it. And I wish I hadn't because it kind of screwed up, you know, it just screwed it up because it was so perfect up to that point. Anyway.
Okay.
But let's not talk about that.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about Meet the Parents. Ben Stiller.
Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller.
Who had just come off of Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Which had a big deal, probably a big part of him getting this role.
Well, and see, that's weird because coming into this, for some reason, I thought Ben Stiller was kind of...
Well, he was in Reality Bites
before
that. Was that like his big break?
I thought he was the brain behind this, I guess, is what...
Oh, no.
For some reason, I was under the impression that this was his concept. But Jim Carrey was actually the one who was originally considered for this role. And apparently it went pretty far down the road.
Yeah.
To where he even is the one that came up with the last name and everything.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
We were giving Ben Stiller way too much credit.
Yeah. But Ben Stiller is, we'll talk about replacements in a minute, because he's an interesting one when you talk about replacing Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
I feel like he's one of a handful of actors who is mostly irreplaceable. When you're doing Jim Carrey is very similar in that way. If you're doing a Jim Carrey movie, it's a Jim Carrey movie and it doesn't get off the ground if it's not him. Not everything he's done, but a good chunk of what he's done, it's all based completely around. There's not many actors
we can
like
talk
that.
About it right now. I mean, yeah, the other thing too that Ben Stiller is good at is Ben Stiller isn't over the top. And Ben Stiller, he's a good enough actor where he doesn't have to like steal every scene. And what I mean by that is, did you ever see the movie Due Date with
yes.
Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey?
Yes.
I feel like if Robert Downey wouldn't have been cast in that part, and it would have been someone like maybe Ben Stiller. You can work that the main comedic guy can work off of. It would have worked better. But Robert Downey is such an amazing actor and like so much personality that it's almost like he was too over the top. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Matthew Broderick and Cable Guy, another great example of a guy that can be low key and kind of like stay in his lane and let everyone work off. Another one too that's brilliant at it is Luke Wilson. Like in old school, Luke Wilson is not he's a funny guy, right? I mean, in you know, Royal Tenenbaums, Bottle Rockets, some of those things, like amazingly funny, right? But at the same time too, like he's almost best when he's just kind of staying in his lane and helping us navigate through the story.
And Owen Wilson is probably the opposite of that. He kind of has to be.
Yeah.
His character has to come out. It's never worked better than between him and Vince Vaughn.
Right. But Ben Stiller's like that. Like Ben Stiller's kind of like the normal dude.
He is, but it's just such a unique, I don't know if many people that could play.
Yeah, almost Woody Allen-ish.
He's the character. Neurotic. I know there's a word for what I'm looking for, but the guy where all the crap happens to him.
Yeah.
This is not the only lovable movie like this.
The lovable loser.
The lovable loser. Yes, there you go. That's the way to describe it. But he takes it over the top, man. All of his movies do.
Yeah.
And it's just, it gets hard to watch sometime. But anyway, so it got a 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh my gosh.
84% Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa.
And a 73% on Metacritic.
Incredible stuff. Great stats.
For a comedy, that's pretty good stats, right?
Yeah.
Here's what you get to choose from. You can either give me a favorite scene or you can give me any sort of best of or bold claim you have about this movie.
Oof.
Or you can do both. If you have one of all these, just pick one to go first.
There's a lot of different scenes that are
You want to go favorite scene? What would you say?
The one that I remember because I feel like whenever I'm sitting at a family dinner, somehow, some way, I want to move the conversation of the family dinner to, I have nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me?
You have a desire to move it.
I want to get that in there somehow, some way. And every single time I do, it's a win.
Wait, so you've actually worked this in to a real life family dinner.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can kind of be like, oh, man. Yeah, I was driving. I hit a deer. I almost hit a deer on the road. Really? Yeah, man. It was crazy. I had a little like baby deer behind it. So did you hit the mama deer? I almost hit the mama deer. It's crazy though. She had these little teats. So I think she was the mom. You know what I mean? Like you can work it and it's always a win. You know, we got Thanksgiving coming up and I feel like anyone that's listening to this podcast, I want to set out a challenge to you to try to work in, I have nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me into your Thanksgiving conversation? And I promise you everyone will be better.
That's going to work out well.
Oh my gosh. Everyone will remember it more.
I hope everybody at that dinner table has seen this movie because that could go over badly.
I feel like everyone's seen this movie.
Yeah, everyone has. It affected pop culture.
Absolutely. But that whole scene, I mean, that whole scene's incredible. As far as like dinner party scenes go that are just awkward and fun like that, the only other thing that I can say that even comes close to that is the episode of The Office when Michael and whatever her name is invite some couples in the office over for their dinner party and it shows them the plasma screen.
Oh, yes.
You remember that? And she's like, and that's what like you kind of realize more than ever that she's completely insane.
That competes with the best of awkwardness when it comes to like an awkward scene. Michael Scott is just, I've watched it so many times.
You made me get a vasectomy. And then go back. Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Oh.
Anyway, but I feel like the dinner scene with the Fokkers, with Gaylord and the rest of Pam's family, not Pam. Sorry, I'm mixing my universes.
No, isn't her name Pam in it?
Terry Polo. What's her real name?
Pam Burns. Well, I mean, she plays Pam Burns.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like, okay, so there we go. There's some synergy. Two Pams, there two great dinner party scenes.
She was in, Terry Polo was in that new... Isn't her big thing right now? She was in that new like...
The one on the Disney Channel?
Is it on the Disney Channel?
The Fosters?
I think so.
It's like a new like... This is the new American Family?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like her.
I haven't watched it.
She hasn't done anything.
I saw her in that.
She hasn't done much since then though, right?
Really underrated.
I mean, I know she's gone.
Why didn't she go anywhere with this?
I don't know. But she was in all the sequels, obviously.
But that's like it.
There's not a whole lot I can think of. So I'm going to agree with you. The tables... If you had to pick one scene...
There's many.
Well, I think there's the famous ones, just to shoot through them all real quick, are the table scene. I know the car scene gets quoted a lot or talked about a lot. Like
the car scene.
The Puff the Magic Dragon scene.
Oh, yeah. It's just a game, Fokker.
So the pool scene, I would say, is the other big, that whole first time meeting Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
And then into the pool. You could almost say that between the dinner scene and then the pool scene and their various intro and outros, that's almost the whole movie. And they're both genius. Oh, everything about them.
There's so many. And if you rewatch it, even just that whole pool scene, Owen Wilson is just so amazing. The master of the humble brag.
Yes.
It's just incredible. When it's not like when they walk into his custom home, you know, and he's like, you know, oh yeah, you're stepping on Bavarian wormwood. I rescued this wood up here from an old church in Nantucket, you know.
Hey, what made you want him to get into carpentering? Carpentry? What is it? How does he? He's like,
yeah, it's always been kind of a hobby. I whittled that out of beech wood.
Huh, it's beautiful. Yeah. So what got you into carpentering?
Carpentry? I guess I'd have to say Jesus.
Or so, I forget.
Greg's Jewish.
Yeah.
That's great. So is JC.
I figured if there was anyone,
why not follow Christ? Why not follow?
And he's so serious.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's amazing.
It's
magic.
It's really good. And then the one other scene, one of my favorite moments of the whole movie, just good acting, good, it's just a great moment, is when De Niro's got him cornered in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And he's asking him, and then he does the whole looks down, and then I have no idea.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Okay. Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Fokker. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you.
It's not that good of a line, necessarily. No. It's just so well acted. I don't know what it is about it. There's just something about that scene that is hilarious.
Yeah.
I probably rewound it like 3 times. You have those lines every now and again. Yeah. Where I almost feel like that had to have been ad-libbed to some extent. For guys like this, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, Will Ferrell, they always have tons of outtakes in their movies. So you know they're trying out tons of stuff. I feel like that one had to have been tried out because it was just too good.
Another scene too that's underrated that I really liked, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the plot, but you remember the whole fight over his bag and he gets kicked off the plane and everything, right? He's like, I just want to have my bag and I just don't want to check it. Anyway, and then he ends up going back for another flight and that same flight attendant is there. And then she's like, there's no one in the terminal. And she's like, we'll have rows A through F come up now. And he's the only one there. And he walks up and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't call your row. You're going to have to wait your turn.
Yeah.
And then he steps like 3 steps back and he literally says nothing to her. And then she's just sitting there.
She just looks around.
We'll now do G through M.
Oh, no, she goes straight to we'll now board everybody.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's right. We'll now board everybody. And then he walks up. He's just looking at her and she goes, hello, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Welcome aboard. Anyway,
funny.
Oh, she's fantastic. Here's my question on that. Do you think that the delay, because she ends up kind of delaying him getting on the plane.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that Robert De Niro had somehow reached out and talked to her to get him to hold off boarding him, to give him time to catch up so that he could propose?
It makes sense. I had that same thought, that he had to have done something to try to stop him from getting on the plane. He didn't have enough time to get in there.
Which gives me way new respect for her, because she was willing to, in an indirect way, help out Gaylord after he had treated her so badly in the flight previously.
When you have the Godfather calling and telling you what to do. Marlon Brando's kind of weird in real life. He's fascinating. For me,
yeah, the Ghost in the Darkness.
I prefer to think of the Godfather as Robert De Niro.
Did you ever see the Ghost in the Darkness?
Yeah, Darkness is good though.
It was skinny Val Kilmer.
What? Before you don't like Ghost in the Darkness?
Before fat Val Kilmer came along.
Let's not turn this into a Secret Window type situation.
I don't remember love. I remember.
I'm
watching
not claiming it's the greatest movie ever made, but you can't tell me you didn't enjoy.
Was it Michael Crichton that wrote that?
I believe so.
I remember watching it because it was a Michael Crichton movie. And all through the 90s, the only good movies that everyone thought were good were either Michael Crichton or John Grisham.
Do you...
Or Tom Clancy.
Do you like John Grisham? I sure do. Name that movie.
I'm thinking of Office Space with Michael Bolton.
Oh, you're... I think it's Orange County.
Oh, is that, oh yeah, that's
do you
right.
Like John,
yeah, that's right.
Do you like John Grisham? I sure do. That's one of my all-time favorites.
I was like, I'm going to burn this mother down. And she was like, I better not.
No. Let's not get into Orange County quotes. We will be lost forever. Okay, where were we? We just got completely lost.
I know.
We were talking favorite scenes.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. The table scene is the pivotal scene of the movie, in my opinion. You can't get away with that. But let me just walk through the genius in that scene. So one, just from a visual perspective, little things, even like the vegetables he's eating and how he's eating. I know this has nothing to do with being funny, but I want to eat that asparagus that they're eating. It looks so delicious. And that, I don't know
makes
why.
Makes your pee stink.
I'm weird about stuff like that because it makes these scenes. I love when they take the time to make little things like that look good because it makes the whole scene feel more realistic. But they have the awkward prayer, which is so fantastic.
More clearly. And we love you more dearly.
Oh, as long as you're not a person that gets offended by stuff like that.
Well, I mean, he's Jewish.
Yes. And just De Niro's, his classic keeps looking up. And then so much awkward discussion, the urn
falling on the ground, and then Jinx going over to urinate.
Yes.
In the ashes.
In the poem, Robert De Niro's poem. I still am not convinced that was not supposed to be a joke by him to make it awkward for him. You know what I mean? Like within the movie.
Like they just passed that to him, like, hey, we really want you to read this and work this in on this part, right?
No, not from the director, but I almost, De Niro's character was trying to make everything, he's trying to figure this guy out. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I feel like he made that poem specifically to get a reaction out of him, to see if he would go along with it.
Can you read the poem?
Can I read the poem?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's pull it up real quick. And his response is so good after the poem.
I can't remember. What does he say? I got it.
You got it. Hit us with this. And they,
go,
and they,
where did, go? Where
and they,
go?
They describe how emotional this poem was for him.
It's called My Mother. You gave me life. You gave me milk. You gave me courage. Your name was Angela, the angel from heaven. But you were also an angel of God, and he needed you too. Selfishly, I tried to keep you here. While the cancer ate away your organs like an unstoppable rebel force, but I couldn't save you, and I shall see your face never more, never more, never more, until we meet in heaven.
And he's crying. And it's De Niro.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't have worked if it was anyone else.
I can debate that.
Okay.
Are we moving there?
Well, hold on. Let's do one more thing. I feel like we need to just play the prayer.
Yes,
we have to.
Greg's Jewish dad, you know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey?
Telling me the Jews don't.
You have some objection?
No. No, I'd love to. Pam, come on. It's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace in many a dinner table. That's okay.
Just the silence.
And he's like trying to figure out how to hold his hands.
Dear God. Thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day.
The mom's like day. Totally into it. I love it. She's like loving the prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Greg. Thank you, Greg.
Oh,
that
Greg.
That was interesting, too.
That was interesting, too. The mom, like, she's not messing there. She genuinely loves it. That's actually probably a better prayer than most people get out.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what makes it so funny. Just an excellent scene. And then it ends with him breaking the urn.
Yeah.
Wonderful scene. And then, we talked about that. The pool scene.
I love, too, all the little Easter eggs all the way through the end. So, like, once the whole family finds out I wish I had this kind of relationship better with my family, where I can come up with nicknames on the fly, just making fun of everyone super fast. Cause I mean, like, they call, once they all find out that he's a nurse, like, yeah, Greg Fokker NP, or hey, Florence Nightingale, why don't you try and spike the ball? You know, like, they come up with, and everyone gets involved, like the whole extended family. The only thing that was missing from it, I felt like, is I wanted to see Bradley Cooper in there too. Like, just like, I want there to be a Wedding Crashers.
You want the full
meet the parents universe collision.
The brother in it wasn't bad by any means, but he could, that's a good point. I didn't think about
the one that was getting married.
He could have, not the one that was getting married. Well,
and the stoner,
brother.
Yeah.
He probably could have brought more to, like, his,
yes.
And I'm not even saying the actor that played him couldn't have done it, but they could have written more into it, I think.
Why couldn't that guy, instead of being him, why couldn't it have been like Mark Paul Gosselaar from Saved by the Bell? I wanted someone more recognizable. I'm trying to think, like, who in like the year 2000.
That would have been entertaining, but way too distracting.
What about Seth Green? I mean,
he was probably
like 35 at the time, but still, like, he always looks like he's 16.
Yeah, he totally could have passed age. That's actually a decent call.
Like,
Seth Green.
Feel like there was enough character there that they should have gone with someone that we would have recognized more, and not just like some dude that like just was there.
I'm giving you kudos on that. That's an excellent call. I tried to think of a replacement and I couldn't think of anyone who would have taken that role, but who also was recognizable enough, but not distracting. Mark Paul Gosselaar would have been way too distracting.
Yeah, I know.
Seth Green?
There's just an alternate universe where I really want Mark Paul Gosselaar to be like a successful movie actor. Oh, and I don't even know why.
He had a Hallmark movie last year. What are you talking about?
I know, dude. I wanted him to be big. I wanted him to be a contender.
He's a decent actor. I don't know why
he got boxed in.
Yeah, he got real.
I mean, he made moves. He was in NYPD Blue, remember, for a little bit. And then the other child actor took over for him after he left. What's his name?
In NYPD Blue? Oh, Ricky Schroeder?
Yeah, Ricky Schroeder.
Silver Spoons, baby.
Yeah.
Who was the other one that was in Silver Spoons? There was one other actor that came out of that. Jason Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a big role, did he?
No.
But he was in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I just thought of that.
Well done. I can be a witness here that you did not look that up on the internet while we were talking.
That just came into my head.
Pure intelligence.
Okay, so we're officially into replacement.
Yeah, let's do this.
I'm genuinely impressed with the Seth Green call because I racked my brain on that.
Yeah.
And I could not come up with anything. Jack Burns, what do you think? Replace him
or
not?
Hot take. Replaceable.
Replaceable, okay.
Yeah, man. The hardest thing is with De Niro, and De Niro is an amazing actor, but the hardest thing with him is he's also kind of boxed in for me as either a policeman or a gangster, you know, like a mafia guy.
Okay.
And
but he is kind of a... one of those guys. He's a police.
He's a CIA agent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't look at him like an international spy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, yeah. And I don't look at him like he's sitting in a cubicle next to Jack Ryan either, you know? So I got a couple that I want to throw out there that, okay, I think would have changed the movie and maybe would have been better.
Okay.
All right. The first one, because you got to think the year it was the year 2000. So I think the climate was right.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Hackman.
Okay. Let me think about that. What was Gene Hackman in
before this?
Right around then.
Enemy of the State was a couple years before.
Yes.
I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah, you can't say it.
Anyway, I think he's dry enough and like he's got the dad look to him, but still like, you know,
like
back in the day, he was like in Hoosiers and coaching and he was a man's man wearing flannel.
Yeah, that's good.
You know? Anyway, so I was thinking about him. I'm like, because he could get that look on his face too, that condescending look where you're like, what? You know, while Stiller was praying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he could have worked.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
The other one's more of a reach.
Uh-huh.
The easy answer would be Christopher Walken, because that's pretty much, he kind of played a dad in Wedding Crashers later on. We don't want to go there. The other one,
he's too neurotic for me though.
Yeah.
But it's a reach, but it wouldn't have been bad. Yeah. I like Gene Hackman better.
John Malkovich.
That's a different movie. But
dude.
But it might have been really good.
It might have been really good though.
But it is a different movie. And I'm going to give, is it Diana or Dinah Burns, the mom? I forget what they call her, what her first name is.
I don't even know.
I think it's Dinah. When I replace hers, I actually like my replacement with John Malkovich. I can't think of her name. It's the mom from, she was in What About Bob?
Why do I know this? I don't know. Julie Haggerty?
Yeah, is that her name?
I think that's her name. She was in Airplane?
Yes. Yeah, Julie Haggerty. Okay.
Will you be a witness too that I did not look that up on the internet?
Yes, I will. You guys, seriously, Clint. is that. A mental problem that benefits him for this show and this show only. And that's why we're doing this. Julie Haggerty, right?
I think that's, I'm almost like 97% sure.
Now I'm blanking on the movie with Ryan Reynolds where he goes back to New Jersey.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Just Friends.
Just Friends.
She is so phenomenal in that. I honestly think even though she has a smaller part in it, she very much makes that movie for me. I love her character in that. Don't you think she would have been a great mom?
Yeah, she would be a good mom. Yeah, that's the right, like the right age right there.
The problem I didn't like about it was she plays a little bit more of
an airhead.
A little more kookier, and this mom's a little more like loving and so put this together.
She has like...
Picture her with John Malkovich though. How, because they would have been totally opposite, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that could have been highly entertaining.
Yeah. And it would have been a sweet moment to catch John Malkovich because a few years prior he had just done Rounders.
You beat me. He beat me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
Which is so fantastic.
I watched Rounders by myself. You know this about me, don't you?
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
We won't get into the drama that caused that, but yeah, I watched Rounders by myself on Thanksgiving Day, so it holds a special place in my heart.
Well, after you watched Rounders, it would have been cool to watch Meet the Parents right after that on Thanksgiving Day with John Malkovich.
With John Malkovich. And then at some point when Fokker finally beats him, he could have said, "You beat me, straight up, you marry my daughter."
Yeah.
That's a good call. So I'm going to give your first call a straight, similar movie, good replacement. Malkovich is fun. It changes the movie though. Yeah, that's a different movie.
Yeah.
But I like it. And I love it if you take my replacement,
Julie Haggerty,
and put Julie Haggerty in it. So that's my mom replacement.
For my mom replacement, and I hate going back to this because I feel like we've mentioned her before, but all I can think about is Bonnie Bedelia.
I almost stopped you. For anyone who doesn't believe me, you can hear my voice starting, and then I remembered. I told Clint to never not mention her. How do I go back? Let me ask you this though: Were you just doing your job of getting Bonnie Bedelia's name in?
Much like at Thanksgiving dinner, it's my job to say, "I have nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me?" I also feel a responsibility to bring in Bonnie Bedelia.
At some point, we are going to have to contact Bonnie Bedelia.
Her agent, dude. I bet we get her on. We got to hurry though. I mean, yeah. She's getting old.
How old is she?
I don't know. She was in Parenthood and she like died in the movie or in the, oh, I don't want to, spoiler alert if you haven't watched that show, but she dies.
In Parenthood?
Yeah.
Did we just make it our podcast ultimate goal to get Bonnie Bedelia on with us?
I feel like that's reachable.
Bonnie Bedelia, if you or your agent ever have to do some homework to find out if we're trying to mock you, let us be clear right now. No, we are not.
We celebrate you from Die Hard to Parenthood.
Yes.
We celebrate you.
And it's a complete celebration with full love. Okay. Who should we talk about next? Pam. I think she could have been replaced, but I think she was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, because it kind of goes along with what I was saying about Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
Is she's not there to be the center of the comedic moments.
Now, wait, hold on. Before we go to her, did you have a Ben Stiller replacement?
Oh.
Or did you just...
You had one. You said you had one.
No. I had an Owen Wilson replacement.
Ben Stiller replacement. I think the only Ben Stiller replacement could have been like some of those guys I was naming, like maybe like a Luke Wilson would have worked. I mean, I know there were rumors that Jim Carrey was involved to like be that role, but it wouldn't have worked with Jim Carrey because he's just too over the top. And this needed to be,
I would not have liked this with Jim Carrey. Doesn't work.
No,
it doesn't work. Because Ben Stiller looks like such an everyman.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is, so you need an everyman.
Luke Wilson would have been good in this.
He would have pulled it off, but Ben Stiller is so good at getting himself into.
And you got to think about what year this was.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He might have been a little bit too young, but what about Jason Biggs?
Yeah, that actually could have worked. That's kind of his character. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
He could have made it work. It wouldn't have been as good.
It wouldn't have been as good though.
But it could have worked. Yeah. Now you have to have De Niro though. Because now you need the star.
Uh-huh.
Okay, check out my, do you have an Owen Wilson replacement?
No, tell me.
James Marsden, dude. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
James Marsden's career has been such a weird thing.
James Marsden is the most underappreciated. I'm not saying he's the best actor, but I'm saying he's extremely versatile. He can dance, he can sing. He can be freaking hilarious and people don't get that about him.
What was that raunchy comedy where he was like the older brother?
Sex Drive.
Yes.
He makes that movie, and I don't watchable. Mean by a little bit.
He makes it watchable. Oh, yeah.
He is everything in that movie. And he's not just kind of good. He is laugh out loud every moment he's on the screen in that movie. And then there's not much else to it after that.
No.
If you just watch the cutout scenes, the way he dresses, like when he kicks down the garage.
This is the right time too, though. This is the right time for James Marsden to be in that.
This would have been perfect for him. I don't know if he was ready yet. But see, it's not a comedy role. That's the beauty of it. You didn't have to be funny.
You have to be straight.
Yeah.
You have to play the whole thing straight. I like where you're going. It would have been cool. I mean, Owen Wilson was absolutely perfect, but it would have been cool to like, Owen Wilson's like, he's a good looking guy, but it would have been cool to have someone that's devastatingly handsome that makes you look at Ben Stiller and be like, wait, why did she pick him? Because you know what I mean? Like, because we've all been there when we meet some dude that like our wife or our girlfriend dated before and you're like, oh crap. You're like, you're totally stacking yourself up against them, you know? And you're like, okay, wait, can I beat him up? Okay, well, do I make more money than him? Well, am I in better shape? And like to have someone that's overwhelmingly like just,
I almost think it would have improved because this isn't Owen Wilson's best. He's restrained.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's not allowed in this one to say lines like, I'm reading Don't Kill Myself books. You know what I mean? he's restrained to just being this cocky, like obsessed with all these.
Humble brag.
Yeah, the humble brag. And James Marsden could have totally pulled it off. And like I said, he's so much better looking than Owen Wilson. It might have actually made it more awkward for Ben Stiller, which was obviously the goal of everything in the movie.
Yes.
Was to make everything. So I feel like he could have fully replaced him and it might have been better.
And that would have fallen in budget too, because he wasn't getting paid a lot then.
No.
Because it makes me think too, like who are the leading guys that were kind of that similar age at that time? Like if you threw like DiCaprio in there, it would be, I mean, you wouldn't be able to afford it, but it would be really funny.
He would have drawn attention away. Owen Wilson was at the perfect time to be that perfect character, didn't draw away too much, brought James Marsden would have been the exact same thing. Would have brought the right thing.
I'm on board.
So anyway, that's my call for him.
I'm on board. I would watch that show on every Thanksgiving. I got one more name to throw out for Owen Wilson.
Okay.
Just came to my mind.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. The thing is,
date night makes me think
exactly,
that could work.
That's what I was thinking.
Date night makes me think that could work.
Because he would have been like the right age.
But he was too cool then.
Well, and he was kind of a bad boy because he'd just done Fear like a few years before.
Yeah.
Where he was like the crazy boyfriend.
It would totally work now, but he had not yet embraced the ridiculousness of his persona. He has now.
That's the hardest part of this exercise is you have to remember who at that point in their career based on age can play that part. Cause like, like right now, dude, like you could throw out like 20 different names.
Mark Wahlberg, totally now, not then. Still good call. I like that. Can I give you one random thing?
Yes.
You mentioned something about The Office earlier. What was that?
The Officer?
No, The Office, the show, The Office. Oh, Pam, you brought that up.
Yeah, that they're both named Pam.
Can I give you some random trivia?
Yes.
Do you remember Jinx coming into The Office at all?
Like into the sitcom?
Yeah.
No.
Do you remember the scene where Angela is, she leaves her cam on and she's licking?
Oh, yeah.
They catch her licking her cat.
Yeah.
She mentions, I forget if it's in that exact episode, but later as she's bragging about the cat, she says something along the lines of, that cat's great grandfather played Jinx in Meet the Parents.
Dude, seriously, there's so much, who knew that these connections were there, you know?
It's funny. I mean, there's a lot of pop culture. I think the big pop culture sayings that people say all the time are the whole like, I will take you down. I will take you down to Chinatown. That's literally a thing people say, and they don't even know why they're saying it.
Jack Tuck Tie. Jack Tuck Tie.
Yeah, that's another one. Oh, there's two or three others.
He doesn't even have thumbs, Fokker.
That's right. Yeah, there's two.
Jinxie doesn't flush.
And whenever somebody smells something, that's smell, Fokker.
No.
These are things that you say, and I know I'm missing like
three. I'm sorry, man. Also, Bonnie Bedelia, if you can get in touch with Gene Hackman and John Malkovich, I just want a recording of them saying that line. That smell, Bob.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, real quick, my De Niro replacement, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
And I promise you this is not because I just watched Godfather 2, but I think Robert Duvall could have pulled it off. And I think he would have been more of a...
More believable.
More of along your Gene Hackman line.
Where
it's kind of a similar role. Doesn't change too much.
Yeah, I do. I love Duvall.
What was the movie with him and Haley Joel Osment?
Secondhand Lions.
That movie is beautiful.
With was Michael Caine in that?
Yes. That is a highly underrated film.
Good choice though on that. That would have been good. I would watch that show too. I would have liked that.
I think he'd be good. Wanted to bring up a couple things. This is interesting that you mentioned Due Date earlier. So Ray Roach, the guy that directed it, he directed Dinner for Schmucks and The Campaign, which, do you know what they have in common?
Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I almost wonder if he was involved in Due Date now.
Ooh, that makes me think too. Paul Rudd could probably play Ben Stiller's part too. He was the right age. Paul freaking Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd could have played Owen Wilson's part, and that would have been amazing as well.
Yeah.
He's got some comedic chops, dude. That would have changed his career.
Dude, it's Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Well played, sir. What was Paul Rudd coming up? Because Clueless was like 94, so he's way beyond that. Yeah,
and
after that,
he was in Romeo and Juliet, where he was the guy that was left out because he was Claire Danes' fiance.
Yeah.
There you go. And he was a little bit older. He's kind of in that, I think he's the same age as Ben Stiller, like really close.
And somewhat similar look and build, you know what I mean?
Easily could. I could totally see him like with a smirk on his face though, saying, Bavarian Wormwood.
Yeah, he could have done both. Dude, Paul Rudd, you know Paul Rudd's one of my favorite actors. Everything he says is funny. Okay. Here's another interesting thing. I want to get through like our final interesting things. Ray Roach, the director, he wrote and maybe also directed or produced, but I know he wrote Blown Away.
Oh.
He's the writer for Blown Away.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Tommy Lee Jones?
That's not even, we're talking.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to me when people are involved in stuff that's that dramatically different. Last questions. Let's wrap it up here with
live it, fly on the wall, or watch from home.
You want to live that life? You want to experience that? You want to just have fun watching that as a fly on the wall? Or you want to
fly on the wall? I want to be in the dinner party and watching that go down and just looking at the ground, just laughing.
Maybe pulling Owen Wilson aside and asking him some questions about his woodworking and
about his cabinetry.
Is
in so much lacquer on that thing?
It was inevitable.
Do you want to be friends with any of these guys?
I would like to be friends with De Niro's character. That's a fun guy to know.
That's a good guy to know too. He's got connections.
He's got connections. Okay, here's the ultimate question. You ready for this?
Ooh.
Was it good or was it Amazing Grace and Chuck?
It was good.
So to sum it up, this movie was a pop culture phenomenon. It really, to your point, it truly changed romantic comedies quite a bit.
Yep.
It was really a precursor to a lot of what we saw in the early 2000s. It gets its due when people think about it, but it's not often thought of as a groundbreaking movie, but it really was.
It launched a lot of stuff.
And I've got one more surprise for you. Do you remember what we talked about? That something we were going to follow up on the last episode?
I don't remember.
You remember? We were going to follow up on the cost of a very rare
item. Oh, Amazing Grace. How much was it?
So this is the original. Do you know what have you ever heard of a one sheet?
Uh-huh.
So this is the original. If it's a one sheet, it's sized a little weird. You know it's legit. These are the ones that hung in the theaters. If they're 27 by 41, that's a huge sign. So this is an original poster of Amazing Grace and Chuck, $15. Just to put that in perspective.
Done.
Rocky, any of those movies is going to be closer to like $800. Okay. Amazing Grace and Chuck. You can get an actual one that hung in the theaters when this came out.
For $15.
For $15. And can I go one step further?
Huh.
I purchased this today.
Oh my gosh. It's going to find its place here, this Toshiba studio.
So Clint, just for you, there's a spot right here where Amazing Grace and Chuck will go. I'm excited to have that. In my opinion, you know what? I can't even answer this question yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Got to watch it.
So if I'm assuming Amazing Grace and Chuck was bad, then my answer is no, this was not Amazing Grace and Chuck. This is a great movie. People should watch it.
Revisit it.
Don't go into this expecting it to change your life. But honestly, it has probably more insight than you remember. The older you are, if you've been through the whole experience of meeting the in-laws, you've been married a while, you're going to see more in this movie. But mostly, it's good, clean, funny entertainment that's all very relatable. I got to admit, I was a lot more surprised at how much I enjoyed it this time around than I expected to be.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
So we're good. The Amazing Grace and Chuck poster will be here by next week. We'll have it up here for our next recorded episode, and we'll make sure to post a picture of us next to it. We'll put that on
Stone Sheba.
We'll put that on the Stone Sheba's Instagram. You can also follow us on Instagram. Are you public on Instagram?
I'm private.
You're private. Okay. Clint's not yet ready to open up his life. I'm public. You can look me up, Matt Hassler, on Instagram, and we'll make sure to post some pictures there too. That's it for today. We've got a couple movies in mind for next week. Anything specific you want to commit to, or do you want to just kind of play that?
I think we got to wait and text each other really late at night.
Okay. It'll happen.
That's when the best ideas happen. They mostly come out at night.
Mostly. A thing with friends beside.